Hello, everyone. Welcome to Linux Crazy Podcast. This is podcast number 18. It's an interview with Roy Bamford, Gentoo Foundation President. And this is an updated interview with Roy. As the original recording, the sound quality was pretty poor. And that one, I called him, and it got with the asterisks on my IP phone. And I called his landline, and probably somewhere along the line, the connection wasn't that good. So anyhow, the sound quality wasn't that great. So we regrouped, and in this one, he called me with his soft phone. He uses the one with GNOME. I'm not sure if he uses GNOME as his window manager or not, but it's the soft phone. It used to be, I think it used to be GNOME Meeting or something. But anyhow, right now it's called Ekija. I think that's how you pronounce it, but I'm not sure. Ekija. I've used it before. It's pretty good. Anyhow, he called me with the soft phone through my SIP provider direct. So there's evidently the route's a little bit better, and it doesn't have to go through any analog lines. And boy, the quality is much improved. So we're real excited about that. And so I'm in the process also of setting up an interview with a Gentoo developer. His nickname is Vapier, and he's also a member of the Gentoo Council and a lead developer for the tool chain and embedded it. As far as I know, probably a lot more, but with Gentoo and most distros, but especially with Gentoo, the tool chain is the bread and butter. So I know right after I first install, after I do a stage 3, first thing I do is rebuild a tool chain, so it gives you a real good base for everything else that's coming along. So anyhow, enjoy the podcast, and I'll talk to you all later. Bye.
Hello.
Good afternoon, Dave. How are you?
Oh, fine. Hi, Roy. Yeah, this sounds fantastic. This is going to be a lot better than our first take. I guess from you calling on, you're using a soft phone, right?
That's right.
Yeah, from you calling directly to here with VoIP, straight VoIP, it sounds a lot better.
Yeah, there's no analog transmission in the loop. Now it's all digits from my computer to your computer.
Wow, fantastic! This is going to be a lot better. Roy, how long have you been using Linux?
I started at the end of 1999, so that's just over 8 years now.
And how did you get started with using Linux?
I was using Windows NT on my PC at home. I was looking for something that was more configurable, more up to date, because even in 1999, NT was fairly old. And I came across a magazine in one of our bookshops. It had a DVD cover mount with Windows stuff on one side and Red Hat 6.1 on the other. So I put together a dual boot system using Red Hat 6.1.
Wow. Yeah, that's... when I first started, I started pretty much the same way. I think I started with Nopix. I got a live CD one time, and my handle was ConfRookie 2000. So it was around that time when I first started using computers. So it was around 2000. I'd never used a computer before that. So it was around 2001, I think, when I started. I got so fed up. I was so fed up with Windows. But anyhow, it was around 2001 that I downloaded a Nopix CD, and then I couldn't figure much out, but I enjoyed it, and I went and got a magazine, and it had Red Hat 9 on it, and that was the first time I got started with Linux. How long have you been using Gentoo?
I started using Gentoo over the Christmas holiday at the end of 2002. Going into 2003, so that's just over 5 years now.
And why did you get started with Gen 2?
Well, I've been through Red Hat 6.1, 6.2, 7, and 8. I've just got broadband and downloaded Red Hat 9, but decided I was really fed up with RPM hell, trying to install things that weren't provided as part of the base distro. And I wanted something that was easier to configure because I didn't particularly like Red Hat's graphical user interface tools for configuring things. So I started looking around. I was seriously looking at Linux from scratch, which looked good apart from the lack of a package manager, and found Gentoo instead, which is like Linux from scratch, only with Portage, which looks after all the packages for you. And from that time, I've never looked back.
Yeah, it's my first install. I butchered it pretty bad because I didn't read the entire handbook. I kind of picked and choose the way I was going to install. I was going to save some time, but once I printed out the entire handbook, and I did it step by step the way you're supposed to. It installed fine, and in fact, that original install is I still have that here running. It's on a web server here at the house.
Yeah, I still use my original install too. I've migrated it across 3 sets of hard drives and 2 sets of motherboards, but it's still a 32-bit Intel x86 install, so it just moves.
Yep, fantastic. Yeah, pretty neat. What is your home network like?
I've got a smooth wall box guarding the front door. That's my firewall. Behind that, on the DMZ, I've got a Sun Ultra 10, which I'm just using to play with. And very old K6.2, which I use as a web server and a shell server. It also runs my internet relay chat logger. And a mail server on a separate box. My main box in the house is an Athlon XP 3200 Plus with 1 gig of RAM and 800 gig of disk space. And for going out and about, I've got a laptop and an iPack. The iPack runs Familiar, which is another Linux distribution.
Uh-huh.
But I've not managed to get Gentoo on that yet.
Wow, that's pretty neat. What is the best thing about the open source community?
The community, definitely. It's everybody working together, pulling together to make everything better. Something you don't find in the closed source side of the software world.
Yeah, they talk about the community, but it's it's basically everybody working together to at a common goal, and it really is encouraging. Almost about humanity in general is that people can get together from all different parts of the world and get together and put something together that is as cool as all the as Linux is.
That's right.
And what is the most fun about being a moderator on the forum?
I think that's a strange way to ask about a position of responsibility and authority. But it comes down to helping people. It's just another aspect of the community. My approach is to moderate things I come across in my normal forums usage. I don't go looking for things to moderate. People sometimes PM me or ping me on Internet Relay Chat to say, do you think this post should be there, or can you fix this because it's spam? That's all part of the patch. But I don't go out of my way to find things to fix.
Right, right. Yeah, I see you there helping a lot of people, I guess, just during in your travels of helping other people. If you run across something that needs to be moderated, then you can go ahead and do it.
That's right.
Yeah. How much time do you volunteer to Gentoo?
Probably a couple of hours every night, and a large chunk of my free time at weekends.
Yeah, it's really...
So I tap into it.
Go ahead.
To come up with a number in hours, let's say 10 hours at weekends and 2 hours through the week, that'll be about 20 hours a week.
Right. Sometimes you don't realize how much time and effort it puts in for all of the developers and forum moderators and developers like yourself to keep a distribution moving forward.
Now, quite honestly, it wasn't until you asked the question just now that I actually thought about it.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's a good thing, because it's having fun is what it's all about. So, I guess if you started thinking about, gosh, I'm putting in too much time in this, then, maybe it's time to do something else.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. What needs to be done to improve the communication with the foundation members, the developers, and the users?
I think the way you've asked the question is illustrating a part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You've highlighted the divisions within Gentoo. These divisions need to be blurred or even erased, some of them. Communications need to be more transparent. The new trustees have decided that everything they will do will be in public, so it will be a matter of record. We did an experiment a year or so ago with Gentoo user reps, which didn't seem to produce a lot, possibly due for lack of clear goals. That sort of thing could be re-examined to see how it could be made more successful. Anything that brings users, that brings the various groups together and blurs the edges between them has got to be good.
Yeah, sure is. I guess anything that can eliminate the feeling or that it's us against them and everybody's in the common goal, everybody's working together for a common goal is how everybody should feel.
That's right.
I would like to see, forum members like myself for an annual donation become contributing members, with some kind of it doesn't really have to be anything special, but by their username. What do you think about an idea like that?
I'm reluctant to go down the path of collecting money and advertising that people have donated to Gentoo until the foundation is back on its feet and it has a proper budget so that we know where the money will go. I think it's a longer term aim that we can do that sort of thing. But everybody's contribution is valuable, and there is a danger that you'll create two classes of Gentoo community members, because there will be those that have contributed the most. Is it just...
How could users become more involved to help take the load off the developers?
There's lots of ways. Starting with the very minimal involvement, any user can post bug reports into Gentoo's Bugzilla. It only takes a few minutes to open an account and make your first post saying you've done something, whatever, and it didn't turn out quite the way you expected. The bug form helps you fill it in. It asks you for your eMERGE info so that the developer can see how your system's put together, and a few other details. You even get emails from Bugzilla as the developers work your bug. More skilled users can attach patches to their bug reports, so the developer can look over the proposed changes maybe add some polish, and then incorporate it. That saves developer time. Users with more time and perhaps a higher skill level can become arch testers. It's the arch testers in Gen 2 that test testing packages on a stable system and determine if they should become stable or not. So more arch testers equals a higher quality tree for everybody. Last but not least, of course, you can become a developer. It's not as hard as it's perceived, because users that want to take part in Gen 2 can convince the team they want to become a part of that they're serious about spending some of their time. It's a two-way process, this developer recruitment, because the team have to spend time with the new recruit to get them on board, get them up to speed. After you've been contributing patches and things in Bugzilla for a wee while, then you'll probably become invited to become a developer so that you can make your own commits. Users that want to dip a toe in the water can come to Bug Day on Internet Relay Chat. It's the first Saturday in every month. This month it will be on April the 5th. The notice for it has just been posted to the forums and to Gen 2 Dev Announce, so there's a few links there that you can follow up. In the wider sense, developers need not be interested in code. There's scope for documentation developers. The foundation has a place for administration skills, although the foundation cannot recruit for that at the moment because foundation members need to be Gen 2 developers for a whole year before they can become members of the foundation. That's something that I would like to change, but it's not going to happen very quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, Bug Day, once every month, I'm gonna kind of make a commitment to myself to go check that out, try to check that out this month. I didn't really take too much interest in it. I'd been to Bugzilla a few times, but mainly it was being selfish. I was just trying to see how to fix something instead of seeing if there was anything I could do to give back. So that's one thing as a user that I could try to get involved in. I think a lot of times users, act like that we want to help, but we don't really do the footwork, you know? You can talk about helping, but actually doing it is the actual meat into it. So for me, I'm going to make a commitment to myself to, you know, become more involved, especially just to go to Bug Day each time and see if there's anything I can do to help out. So that's something I'm going to try to do. I have found the developers and the forum moderators very helpful. They've always been great to me and very helpful to the users. What can the users do to help the developers and build a stronger partnership? I know we just kind of talked about that a little bit about Bugzilla and all that, but is there something that the users could do to maybe make it feel like it's not us against them? Or should we just stop feeling like that and be done with it?
Well, that's the first thing, isn't it? Stop talking like that, feeling like that. But I think it would emerge naturally as a result of breaking down the barriers caused by identifying the different groups within the Gen 2 community, because it is all a single community.
Yeah. Is there an update to the legal status of the Gen 2 Foundation?
Yes, there is. We've found all the paperwork we need to find now to be able to incorporate. We've spoken with Daniel Robbins, who's the Gen 2 founder, about who we should use in New Mexico for an agent. We've spoken with the agent, and we're in the process of passing across all the information to the agent that we need to reincorporate. Once he has that information, he has submitted to the New Mexico state authorities within a day or two. Then it's a case of waiting for New Mexico to check it out and issue our certificate of incorporation. Hopefully, he'll have all the information he needs early next week, and we'll have submitted the information by the end of the week.
Oh, fantastic. Is it that big? Is it a big process, or is it once everything gets rolling, it should be pretty simple?
It's not so much a big process. It's a case of making sure we dot all the I's and cross all the T's.
I see.
Because we have been incorporated in New Mexico previously, it's not like we're creating a new legal entity. We have to restore ourselves to good legal standing, which is a case of filing all the reports we were supposed to file and didn't, and dotting some I's and crossing some T's, which were missed with the last filing. You may remember that in January there were some discussions on the mailing lists about a filing that went astray.
Right.
So we're finishing off that filing.
Yeah, well, it's people like you've gotten involved, so there's a little more structure to it, so that things can get accomplished as far as all the administration stuff that needs to be done. I know it's fantastic that there's people kind of taking the reins and to give the guys that do all the coding and everything, so they can just pretty much concentrate on the coding, which they enjoy, and people that are more qualified in doing the administration type stuff can do the administration type stuff.
Yeah.
What is the SFC and how can it help Gentube?
The SFC is an umbrella organization for not-for-profits like Gentoo. It runs a single not-for-profit, which organizations like Gentoo, which qualify for not-for-profit status, can join. The SFC then looks after all the paperwork side, the legal side of the not-for-profit, and allows the Gentoo Foundation trustees to concentrate on the things they do best, the fun side, if you like.
Right.
There's several options for the long-term stability of the Gentoo Foundation. We have to comply with the legal aspects of the IRS and the state of New Mexico. We have to meet some accountancy standards. And Gentoo developers in general don't have the necessary legal and accountancy experience or skills or inclination even to want to carry that off themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So while short term, reincorporating as the Gentoo Foundation, a completely independent legal entity in New Mexico, fixes the immediate problem. Longer term, if we want to run it for ourselves, we would need to employ professionals to do the things we can't do for ourselves, or we join an umbrella organization like the SFC.
Right. Yeah.
So they look after the legal and accountancy things for us.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you got a plan. So that's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, well, roughly summed up, it's restore our good standing and then think about the long term.
I see. How did you come up with the handle, Nettie Sagoon?
When I joined the Gentoo forums, I was looking for a handle fairly quickly. At the time, I was naming all my systems after characters in the 1950s radio show called The Goon Show.
Uh-huh.
Nettie Seagoon is a central character. Uh-huh. in all these shows. People that are still interested to hear the show, it's still being repeated on BBC Radio 7 on the internet.
Uh-huh. Yeah, when I was going to do this interview, and I went to the Wikipedia and checked out the Nettie Segun, and that's where I got that picture. Did you see when I put on the webpage? Yeah. Okay, Roy, I want to thank you very much for the interview, and also I just want to thank you very much for all the hard work and time and effort you put into to Gen 2 for everyone. So thank you, Roy.
I enjoyed doing Gen 2, which is why I do it. I've enjoyed doing your interview, and I'd like to say that I think this is an excellent way of bridging the gap between the various parts of the community, because it makes your listeners realize there is real people on the end of the nicks they see on internet relay chat and on the forums, just by hearing our voices.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. Yeah, I talked to Bapier. He's a developer, and he's on the council, and he's one of the ones that maintains our tool chain, which is pretty much a backbone for, I guess, all distributions, but for sure for Gen 2. And anyhow, he was nice enough. He's agreed to do an interview, so I'll put together a list of questions, and hopefully next week or the week after we'll get together. But again, thank you very much there, Roy.
Thanks very much, Dave.
Okay, bye.
Bye just now.
All right.